Welcome back to SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maynes. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. SermonCoach.com exists to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, David, I have a feeling that some pastors will be uncomfortable with this podcast. What we'll talk about will be controversial, but you seem to feel comfortable with proceeding and throwing caution to the wind, so have at it.
I don't know if I'm comfortable throwing caution to the wind. I'm going to give you a little of my background so people will appreciate how something got ingrained in my mind, okay? I would say one of the gentlemen who changed my life was a man by the name of Dr. Warren Filkin. He is now with the Lord. He was a professor at Northern Baptist Seminary. And when I was growing up, he came as a visiting minister to our church several times. He also did sleight of hand. He was very good at it. And it was a way that he could attract a group. You'd invite people to see the magician, and then they would hear him speak as well. And because he stayed at our house, he showed me a few tricks and how to do them. He was just being friendly to me. And as a junior high student, I took that up as a hobby, and I began to do it more and more. And by the time I got to be a high school senior, I had done some on television. I had done a number of what you'd call club dates, those kind of things. I had performed for the high school variety show and so on. And when I got to college, I worked my way through college doing it. I would go out pretty much on a lot of the weekends and do youth groups or whatever, but do magic. And I got to the place where I was relatively good at it. I was not somebody who was going to play Vegas for the next week, but I was making good money. I was pleased, and I was going to school at the same time. And my senior year at Wheaton College, I did a full evening show at the large auditorium there on campus. And fortunately for me, something happened then that was life-transforming. The gentleman who had been the past president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, who had befriended me when I would meet with the different guys in Chicago, they were far above what I could do. He came to watch the show. And I didn't even know he was there, but he came up afterward, and I kind of gulped, and I said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm thrilled that you're here." And he said, "Well, I enjoyed it. I'd like to talk with you sometime just to evaluate what I saw." Well, I have always been kind of open to what other people think, and he told me, he said, "You do a very good job. In fact, I'm going to honor you by saying that so-and-so," and he named a man I knew, "has gotten sick, and they need someone to replace him. And if you would like to drop out of school, you could actually take that on. I think you're at that level." Well, I didn't want to. I was my last semester of college, and I didn't want to stop. But I thought, man, that's really something. That must be pretty good. And then he said, "But I want to tell you something about what you do." He said, "Everything is predictable. I knew before you did it what you were going to do. Obviously, I know how you did what you were doing. And you need more surprise in what is going on." And I said, "Well, what is surprise?" And he said, "Well, you throw people off as far as what they're expecting, and all of a sudden something happens that's different, and it's very wonderful. Surprise is a great friend." And then he proceeded to befriend me and show me different times. In fact, I remember, Dean, he showed me clips of Cardini. Cardini was an old man. Mm-hmm. He was like the generation of the Blackstones and so on. And I had the privilege as a young man to see those guys perform. And Cardini was, he wore a tuxedo. He had a monocle, you know, and he did all of his sleight of hand with white gloves on, which, I mean, that's amazing that he did that. And he was known for his cigarette routines. In fact, he would start, he would show both of his hands free, you know, turn his palms over, nothing. And then he would pretend like he had a cigarette. He would put it in his mouth and light it. There was nothing there, obviously, you know. Then he'd take his hand away. Then he'd blow out a puff of smoke. "What is the smoke?" Then you looked out, and there in his hand was a cigarette, you know. And, well, goodness sakes, I never expected that. And he was as surprised as you were, you know. And then he would look at the cigarette in his right hand, and then all of a sudden he looked out of the left hand, another one, then another lit cigarette in that hand, you know. And he would keep doing things, but always it would be such that it would throw you off. And pretty soon, you know, you'd say, "Well, he's pretty good at that." He'd vanish the cigarette, and then you look in his other hand, he'd have a cigarette between each of the fingers, you know. And I remember one time where he was working with his right hand, looking at it, smiling at it, and then he looked down, and would you believe the guy had a grapefruit in his other hand? And I thought, where in the world did that grapefruit come from, you know? And it had nothing to do with cigarettes. And but I was learning my lesson, because Cardini was this master at just surprising the daylights out of you. So I thought, I like surprise, and surprise to me has always been a good word. So when somebody says surprise, that's a positive to me, although I realized later when I felt the Lord's call into ministry that surprise was a word that kind of rocked people a little bit in the church. Some people don't like surprise. They want everything to be predictable. Well, surprise to me was good, and the opposite of that was lack of surprise, which was boredom. So it was very hard for me, who had been trained in this area and then at a certain time gave up all the sleight of hand, and I don't do it anymore. I still enjoy going to see somebody perform who does really good work, and I analyze them and I say, boy, that was a great surprise. You know, I remember, in fact, watching Blackstone Jr. I took some of the college kids who lived with us to see him. I said, you got to watch this guy. And at a certain point, he's producing these silks and these fountains of all these flowers and silks, and all of a sudden they turn around and behind him is this baby elephant. You know, which was, I mean, a surprise. And those college kids, I remember David, the one guy who was from the school, his eyes just about bugged out of his head. Where in the world did that elephant come from? You know, so surprise to me, I like it. I laugh about it. But when I got into the church world, I realized that I was out of step with where a lot of people were. But surprise is still good to me. And in my personal feeling, surprise has value in a church service. Mm-hmm. Not as a shock. I don't want to shock people. That's different, okay? Mm-hmm. But I want to delight them, and they say, you know, I didn't expect that. I've been in church for a long time, but that was totally unusual. And it doesn't have to be spectacular. It's just that it surprises people. So there's a certain, oh, yes, that was kind of interesting. Guess what happened in church this morning, okay? Mm-hmm. So with that background, and we talk about surprise, you understand why I have that bent and why it's delightful to me, but it could be a terrible, terrible topic to somebody else.
I've heard you talk about the God of the great surprise, and God mm-hmm. certainly does surprise us with his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Can you give me an example of surprise in a church service?
I'll do it in a way that isn't overwhelming to people, because I realize that I'm trying to caution up to this topic. From my own readings and early on in my ministry, I found that there were two times in a service that were pretty good opportunities to put people to sleep. Okay, one is scripture reading, and the other is the prayer times, the invocation or whatever. And if you poll people, I didn't do the pollings, but the ones I've read, those are the dead times when somebody's liable to go to sleep. So I'll tell you one that we did in terms of the invocation, which is that early prayer in a morning service. We've already talked about how we choose an attribute of God and then focus on that attribute to worship him or to attribute worth to him or to say, this I really like about you. So we were praising God that he is immutable. That's a word that you don't find hymns on, so you have to figure out how you're going to do things in a different way. Immutable means he doesn't change in terms of his character. So we said, okay, we got a pretty tough topic, and on top of that, we got the invocation. So we got a sure zone-out time. How are we going to keep people's interest in what is going on? And what we did, is the only time I remember in the church where I pastored, where we had four people, four different generations in the same family. We had the old returned missionary who was retired. He was the grandfather, and then the father, and then the father's son, and then you had a little child who was probably about 4 or 5 years old, as I recall. And so they were going to give the invocation regarding God being immutable, that he doesn't change. And I can kind of tell you a little bit how it happened. They all came up for the invocation time, and the old grand, I said to them, when I worked with them in rehearsing, I said, you can say three sentences. I found if I say to a person, you can only go 30 seconds, they have no concept whatsoever of 30 seconds. And so I basically would say, you have three sentences. And you, whatever you want to say in three sentences about God being immutable, and you're speaking on behalf of the church. Well, he started out, he prayed kind of in King James, because that's what his generation was. And he said, we wouldst praise thee, Lord, this morning, that thou art immutable. That means thou dost not, it's hard for me to talk King James, that means thou dost not change in terms of thy basic nature. What you teach us in scripture from generation back, thou still art today. Done. Three sentences. Then his son started immediately. So the whole prayer is going to have three times four, about 12 sentences. It goes very fast. But his son then stepped forward, and his son said, I am praising you for what my father is praising you for. He taught me that you are immutable and certain things about your character, and I found those to be true as well, such as that you are loving and always will be loving. And then he stopped, stepped back. The next generation, who was a young gentleman, he was probably in his middle 20s, stepped forward and said, I learned from my father and my grandfather the good things about your nature. And I would like to testify to you that you have been the same as what they taught me in my life. And he prayed his prayer. And then the little guy, who I'm guessing again, he was probably four or five years old, he got to the front and he said, I don't know what my papa and my grandpapas are saying, but when I'm old enough, I'll probably say the same thing. Amen. And that was it. and it was a delightful surprise, you know, because what could have been a very boring time, everybody paid attention to. It was a simple prayer. I mean, there was no choreography. They didn't do tap dances or anything of that sort. They just prayed prayers, and they were very short prayers. Mm-hmm. But it also said to God, you know, we mean this, and these are the people in our congregation who we want to express to you this meaning that we have. Now, that was a surprise, but it didn't shock anybody. It just was different, you know. And I've still had people who, I mean, we're talking years back, who come to me and say, remember the morning we had those poor guys pray that God is immutable? And I think that's really neat, because they remembered that prayer, yes, as well as they remembered a sermon. And it was a surprise, but it was a good thing.
Yeah, that's a wonderful example. I can picture that in my mind as you describe that, and I can see how that would really grab people in the service.